Good morning, Houston, and welcome to Feeling Better Naturally with Dr. John Trowbridge here on this LCH Planetary Education Project. Are you fearful that better health seems out of your reach regardless of how hard you try or whatever you do? Are you afraid of suffering with heart disease or diabetes or lingering with stroke or cancer? Or do you avoid thinking about these things because you'll just try to make the best of it, whatever happens? Are you limited by joint pains or finding that you can't run from your headaches? Maybe you're hesitant to try something new because you're afraid that what you'll do is wrong, or maybe because you'd better be right or nothing will ever help. Regardless of what might be happening with your health problems, these next few minutes could be the answer to your prayers. Unless, of course, you're convinced that your doctors have done everything possible, or if you've already decided to have surgery but you're waiting till you worsen further. But if you hold out any hope at all, then you should know that we see desperate people every day, people skeptical about whether anything we can do can make a difference in their lives, and sure enough, many of them are pleasantly surprised. Maybe you could be one of them. After all, the only thing you have to lose is your discomfort, your fear, your worry, maybe even your anger that no one has really listened to you or that no one has been able to help you. We'll be talking about what you can do to get out of your pain and get on with your life. I practiced for 25 years, never believing that you're suffering from a deficiency of one or more drugs or that an operation is probably the best answer. Whatever ails you, God built your system to repair itself and to restore more normal function. And that, in a nutshell, is the whole buzz on the topic of alternative or holistic medicine that you've been hearing about these past few years. Now, drugs and surgery can be helpful, but true natural healing depends on three factors. First, find what's blocking you from feeling better and remove it. Second, find what trace factors you might be missing but you need for repair and provide them. And third, find what switches need to be turned on and turn them on. We'll share practical pointers to help you improve with the most common problems seen in doctors' offices and practical preventive medicine updates to help reduce your risk factors for the most serious diseases that claim our comfort and then our lives. And practical ways to reduce your risks and improve your results with drugs and surgery that you might need. As I've said for years, when life is your choice, failure is not an option. So learn more today on how you can succeed. And if what we offer doesn't apply to you right now, then share this life-saving information with family or friends who do need to know. The book of Ecclesiastes tells us in chapter 1, verse 9, that there is no new thing under the sun. So let's see what we might learn from those who've walked the path ahead of us. This is a very curious one. It says, "Be curious always, for knowledge will not acquire you. You must acquire it." That's from Sudhi Back, and I have no background information on Sudhi Back, but I like the idea of be curious always to acquire knowledge, because, after all, you're the only one who will benefit from it. You know, I'm often asked why one of my frequent referrals is to a biological dentist. So let's turn our attention to a common problem, which we'll review today as a significant illness problem, and that's periodontal disease and hardening of the arteries. Now, later in this program, we'll learn that other dental and jaw issues can dramatically impact your health. So stay tuned if periodontitis or periodontal disease is not your problem. Dr. Diolutto, in the Journal of Clinical Periodontology in May of 2004, he's from the University College of London, said, "The results of this pilot study he conducted indicate that severe generalized periodontitis causes systemic inflammation." That means inflammatory changes all throughout the body. "This is consistent with a causative role of periodontitis in atherogenesis, or blockage in the arteries." Dr. Milstein at the University of Utah published in the American Journal of Cardiovascular Drugs in 2002, his conclusions that recent studies have shown that chronic infections such as bacterial organisms as Chlamydia pneumoniae, Helicobacter pylori, and a variety of dental pathogens may play a causative role in atherosclerosis, hardening of the arteries, and notes that further studies are ongoing. Dr. Jain and colleagues, publishing in Infections and Immunity Journal in October 2003, they're from the School of Dental Medicine at the Boston University, noted that the results of their study provide direct evidence that periodontitis may be a risk factor and may contribute to the pathogenesis, the causing system of atherosclerosis, hardening of the arteries. And the data in their study support the concept that infections at remote locations can modulate atherosclerotic events distantly. That means cause them. Dr. Katz and colleagues published in the Journal of Periodontology in May of 2002, they're from the University of Florida, the findings of this study support the reports linking increased prevalence of cardiovascular mortality, that means heart attacks, strokes, among patients with periodontal disease. Dr. DeNardine from the University of Buffalo published in 2001 in December in the Annals of Periodontology, says periodontal diseases are bacterial infections associated with bacteremia, that's bacteria in the bloodstream, inflammation, a strong immune response, all of which may represent significant risk factors for the development of atherogenesis, that's hardening of the arteries, coronary heart disease, that's actual hardening in the heart arteries, and myocardial infarction, that's heart attack. Now, we also hear from Dr. Scannapieco and his colleagues at the University of Buffalo School of Dental Medicine. They published in the 2003 December Annals of Periodontology additional large-scale longitudinal epidemiologic and intervention studies. That means we ought to look at what happens over a long term with lots of people are necessary to validate this association of infection, periodontal disease, and the risk for hardening of the arteries, cardiovascular disease, and stroke. In other words, we're just beginning to scratch the surface to begin to understand this. Dr. Abu Raya from Egypt and his colleagues published an Angiology journal in March of 2002, the association between periodontal disease and coronary atheromatosis, that means blockage in the heart arteries, remained significant in the study after adjustment of the data for age and smoking and blood lipids, blood fats, body mass index, that means body fat, hypertension, high blood pressure, and the presence of diabetes. The implication, he says, is periodontal disease was still significantly associated after all the known risk factors were accounted for in causing coronary artery heart disease. Does that tell you that what's going on in your mouth might actually be causing or reflecting or worsening what's going on in the rest of your body? And the answer is absolutely yes. Now, I wanted to do that introduction because everybody knows about brushing their teeth and getting dental infections in terms of gums being involved. But what people don't realize is that there are far deeper problems in the mouth that can actually reflect in more body diseases, not just heart disease. So we're joined today by a wonderful friend of mine for many, many years, Dr. William Glarus in Northwest Houston, the Spring area, who is a biological dentist. He was born in 1948, graduated from Southern Methodist University in the Baylor College of Dentistry. He's been in private dental practice for 30 years here in Houston and is a fellow of the Academy of General Dentistry and a diplomat of the American Board of Naturopathic Medicine. In the American Holistic Dental Association, the Academy of Computerized Dentistry, the International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology, the Price-Pottinger Nutritional Foundation, he's been a member. He's also been president of the American Academy of Biological Dentistry. So we're talking with someone who has a fair amount of experience and expertise, in other words, someone who can really answer questions for us on biological dentistry. So I'm so thrilled today that you've joined us, Bill, and let's just talk about it. What's different? What's biological dentistry?
Thank you, John. Biological dentistry is, from my perspective, the very best elements of conventional dentistry, the diagnostic techniques, the restorative material improvements, the use of lasers in appropriate places. So we use the very best of traditional dentistry. But we also have an appreciation for the relationship of teeth to the rest of the body. And that is...
Well, they're at the front of the rest of the body.
It's amazing. That's really, you know, we are so compartmentalized in our healthcare, and dentistry is guilty of that also. And people can understand that in reflexology, there's a map of the whole body on the feet, and they can understand auriculotherapy. There's a map of the body, you know, reflected on the ears, and we say, and there's a map of the body reflected by the individual teeth.
So yeah. We're talking energetic medicine as well as
exactly
as conventional drug-related medicine and such, and surgery.
Exactly.
Excellent. We're going to come back and get more details on biological dentistry in just a moment. The time is about 10 past the hour, and you're listening to Feeling Better Naturally with Dr. John Trowbridge, a planetary education project of life-celebrating health with the best medical updates ever. Your extended health forecast is brought to you now by Life Celebrating Health in Humble near Bush Intercontinental Airport. Our crystal ball shows clear to partly cloudy with the winds of change blowing. Are you acting more like an ostrich, burying your head in the sand because you don't feel able to deal with your health problems? Then your tail feathers will be getting wet when partly cloudy skies change to rain. Perhaps you're clucking around, kind of happy that a new medication has you feeling better, but not realizing that those fancy patches and band-aids might not be the best for you. If you're not changing anything and simply hoping for the best because you've been feeling pretty good, or maybe you're afraid or unsure, then cloudy to very stormy skies are on your horizon. Or just maybe you're ready to make changes to regain and maintain better health, then sunny skies are coming your way. At Life Celebrating Health, you can depend on us as partners in your health care, and we'll design personalized programs to help keep your days sunny, and we'll show you how to spend less and get more. Call for your free telephone consultation with one of our treatment assistants. No fee, no obligation. Just dial 1-800-FIX-PAIN. That's 1-800-FIX-PAIN. 1-800-FIX-PAIN. Ask to receive our free e-newsletter. Just share with us your email address or send your questions to us through our internet website, www.healthchoicesnow.com. Because unlike the weather, you do have choices for better health. We're joined today by Dr. Bill Glaros, my good friend from the Spring area in Northwest Houston, a biological dentist. Now, when we talk about energetic medicine, people start thinking weird stuff and such, but you actually do have dental chairs, you have dental equipment, you do dental procedures, but you do them from a different point of view. Share with us how you got started in this and what it really is to be a biological dentist.
The start of it for me was a misunderstanding, an inability to understand why mercury it was safe to put in people's mouths when the ADA's protocols on hygiene and mercury hygiene in the dental office said, don't touch it, don't breathe it, don't rub it against itself, make sure you have your gloves on, don't eat around it, don't smoke around it, don't...
And it comes with skull and crossbones, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
The scraps that don't end up in the patient's mouth are hazardous waste. You have to keep those in a sealed container.
Which is why we can't spit in the bowl that used to circulate the water, right?
No, that's another story.
Oh, okay.
But the material that comes out of people's mouths is also a hazardous waste.
So if you're removing an old filling.
Exactly. Since then, they have, in the recent years, they've taken mercury out of the thermometers that you can buy in grocery stores,
right,
or pharmacies.
Right.
They've taken it out of toys, out of batteries.
Right.
And right now there appears there's only one safe place for mercury on this planet.
And that is?
Well, according to the ADA, it's in the patient's mouth.
So the American Dental Association has made this determination, correct?
Correct.
Based on extensive scientific studies or a good opinion about things?
Based on a history of it's been used for a long time. And based on a lot of studies, there's a lot of research that's been done with mercury fillings, but it's more on the technical qualities of it and not very much on the safety of it. And there's been abundant studies done about the safety of it, and there's plenty of questions raised. And what concerns me is that we're not erring on the side of safety. We're erring on the side of what we used to do.
Right. Well, you know, we used to drive cars with leaded gasoline, and we did that for a long time, too. But when you actually looked at the real biological effects, lead is very toxic. So when you look at the biological effects of mercury, we have entertained Dr. Boyd Haley on this show, and he was one of the first to show that just the trace amounts of mercury in the vaccinations given to children are highly toxic.
Yes.
And then we're carrying around thousands of times more than that in our mouths, correct?
Exactly.
The only safe place for mercury on the planet.
That's it. And mercury comes out of the fillings in a vapor form, which is readily inhaled into the body and gets straight into the bloodstream.
Every day, all day long.
All day long.
All night long.
And you heat it up, you have anything hot, it's going to increase the rate of it. If you rubbed your teeth together and clenched, it's going to increase the rate. If
chewing?
You've had acidic foods, just chewing, just against the food. And all that increases the mercury elimination rate from the filling, and it's absorbed by you and by those of us who used to have them.
Right. How's that? So, in other words, it comes off the filling, goes into the air you're breathing, it
right.
goes into the food you're swallowing, into the spit that you're swallowing, and your body then is exposed to constant dosage, low dosage of mercury.
Right. Now, there was a time when the ADA would say, well, mercury's not coming off of those fillings, and dentists are closely aligned to the American Dental Association, and that was the belief system that they had.
Well, that was their training.
Well, that was all of our training.
Right.
And as Dr. Haley had mentioned on your show, there is no study that has been done that shows that mercury does not come off the fillings. That is not a debatable subject.
It always comes off.
It is coming off. Even at freezing temperature of water, mercury vapors are still coming off the teeth. Now, at 98.6 degrees in the mouth and higher temperatures when we put heated foods in there, it's going to come off at a faster rate. There's debate about what's the effect of that on people, and I can appreciate that debate. And we have meters that can, or I have a meter that measures, it's what the Environmental Protection Agency uses to measure mercury vapor levels on the floor of a factory if there's been a spill.
A mercury sniffer.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And you can actually show the areas in the mouth where more mercury is coming off.
Well, you can have somebody chew some gum.
Yes.
For 2 minutes, and you put that vapor sniffer in their mouth, and routinely, the mercury vapor levels exceed what is safe for the floor of a factory for a 40-hour work week.
Now, here you're faced with this information. You were trained how to put in mercury amalgams. Now, that's not a mercury compound that's bound together. That's just squished together, and that's why the mercury can easily come off, right?
It's a mixture.
A mixture.
It's not like sodium chloride is salt, and it's not sodium, and it's not chloride. It's a new compound. Well, that's not what happens with mercury fillings, and that is the story that is told, but it is not so.
It's just mixed in. It's not bound in.
It's a mixture, exactly.
So here you're taught how to do this, and now you come across the evidence that shows that's constantly going into the body.
Right.
With potential toxic effects.
Exactly.
And there, of course, is the real argument there. Well, is that enough to be toxic? Well, in industrial settings, we know what's enough to be toxic.
Yes.
And then we come down to the fact that we're all wearing it, except those of us who've had it out.
Right.
And we're all a sick nation. We spend more on healthcare than anybody else. And according to the World Health Organization, our healthcare ranks right down there around number 37 or so in countries of the world. Now, don't a lot of Americans have dental fillings?
Tons of mercury.
Tons. In fact, more.
Tons are placed every year.
More
in this
each
country.
Year, right?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
And the concern is that we're not getting rid of it. We're just circulating it, you know.
Inside our systems. Well, that's really the definition of toxic, because toxic stuff goes in easily but doesn't come out easily. And as it builds up, it over time affects more and more and more the body systems. I tell people, the reason that you got away with it so long is you didn't have enough of it yet. It's kind of like taking steps toward the edge of the cliff. That last one sure seems to be a humdinger, but all the others got you closer to making that last one.
Exactly. It's like water dripping in the sink, and the drain is open. And when we're younger, the drain often is open. For some young people, it's not open, and they show symptoms earlier.
Right. Autism and things like that. Exactly. Mental slowness, retardation, and so
exactly.
on.
Exactly. So the intention is to take away the burdens as we can, and so not placing it in the first place
is a good start,
a reasonable place to start,
right.
And I started doing that in 1984 when the first materials came out that were appropriate to put in the back teeth that were the composite fillings.
Right.
Gold could always be placed, but every person couldn't afford or didn't need to have a gold restoration.
Exactly.
So we started placing the composite fillings, and at the end of a year, my secretary came up to me and said, "You didn't place a mercury filling this week." I said, "Good, I quit." Because I was giving people a choice, and at that point I decided that there was no longer going to be a choice in my life. So we stopped in 1984 placing the fillings, and that's the start of biological dentistry.
Well, that's a great choice, isn't it, to go toward healthy. We'll be right back with Dr. Bill Glaris. It's now about 20 past the hour here on Feeling Better Naturally with Dr. John Trowbridge with the best medical updates ever. You know, the second week in September is Assisted Living Week. But why not stay healthy and independent so you need less and less assistance? And that's what we're all about at Life Celebrating Health. If you were born between August 23rd and September 22nd, you're in the sign of Virgo, for whatever that's worth. The September birthstone is the sapphire. The flower is the aster. And September is National Cholesterol Education Month. But, you know, you're not really likely to get the real education because cholesterol is not the culprit that it's made out to be. So this month, why don't you look for the real story? Okay, here's our Burma Shave blast from the past. Remember those little red road signs on the highway? Don't lose your head to save a minute. You need your head. Your brains are in it. Burma Shave. I like that one. And we're now back with Dr. Bill Glaris, my favorite biological dentist. You know, you and I have traded patients back and forth for years because it's that commitment on your part not to do harm. That's what physicians are supposed to remember. First, do no harm. But you've gone beyond that. You have looked for the answers and the explanations that are causative for people being sick with unrelated disease. It has nothing to do with the jaw. It has to do with other parts of their body. And we sent you many people to look for degenerative disease issues and said, is it possible that what we're talking about is related? So give us kind of some insight on that, because that's really going beyond just not using mercury.
Right. Well, a moment ago you were talking about whether it's people swallowing mercury or people breathing the vapors. Mercury that is swallowed is retained only at the rate of probably 20%, and 80% of it is passed away.
Unless, of course, we methylate it with yeast in the gut.
Exactly.
In which case, methylmercury, much more absorbable, much more toxic.
Yes, and with your interest in yeast and yes, and its role there, the yeast will demethylate that which is methylated by the bacteria in the gut, and sometimes yeast hangs around only, as you've taught me, because it's protecting the body. The body's doing the right thing. It just doesn't always suit us.
Right.
However, we were talking about the vapors that come off the teeth.
Uh-huh.
80% of those are retained by the body because it goes so quickly into the bloodstream. Stays in the bloodstream for only 3 days and then deposits all over the body.
We mean all over, right? Nervous system everywhere.
Nervous system. In the
immune system.
In the kidneys, in the liver, in the brain. And that's the challenge, once it's in the system, is working with a healthcare provider like you, who knows how to detox and get rid of the metals.
Right.
And it's part of the same process, I believe, that you use to get rid of lead and to get rid of any other heavy
cadmium,
metal.
Cadmium, arsenic, aluminum, exactly. Go through the list, right.
Exactly.
When we talk, and that's called chelation, or
exactly,
toxic metal removal, when we talk about doing things like that, we're looking at long-term health issues. And people say, well, you know, I really don't have a problem, so I'll check with you when I need to. Something comes up. But that's not preventive dentistry, is it?
Not at all.
Not at all.
The goal is to not place the burden in people's presence. So the goal is, in our office, to minimize the burdens by not placing any material that we think is hazardous. We stopped with placing mercury fillings, and then we stopped placing nickel crowns, and we used only one metal. And we are now at a place where we seldom use metal for any dental restorations.
Because the materials are so good now, right?
The materials are wonderful, and we are trying to have less burden on the body by having the dissimilar metals with the galvanic reactions that can happen,
right?
With the toxins that come from those dissimilar metals.
Now, that's just like forming a battery in your mouth, right? It's an electrical current, a little tiny one.
Exactly.
But constant.
And as we, part of our exam is to measure the microamps that are coming off of individual restorations. And typically, we will get positive and negative current readings and electrolyte saliva. It's like the battery of your car.
Right.
And it's going off all the time.
Now, if you were to lick the two terminals on a 9-volt battery, I tell people don't do this because it can be very hot and surprising. But that's just a big example of what's actually happening between teeth inside your mouth.
Right. And what we are measuring is 1,000 times more than the nerves take to communicate with one another. They measure at nanoamps, 8 nanoamps or so is a range that the body uses, and we're measuring 1,000 times more than that happening in our mouths all the time.
Now, when you have an electric current, you have a magnetic field that's generated around it.
Yes.
And the pituitary, which is the master controlling gland in the body, is just above the roof of the mouth, isn't it? And that means we're exposing that gland to a magnetic field it's never seen before on a constant basis.
Yes.
So those dissimilar metals, as you say, it's, you know, this and that, not just a single metal,
exactly,
is what creates the battery effect.
Or even the same mercury-silver filling that's been placed at different ages, it has different corrosion
okay.
levels, and so you can have mercury-silver fillings only in a mouth, and you can still have a range going from a minus 30 microamps to a plus 25.
A significant battery current in there.
Oh, easily, yes.
Now, what about with a bridge or some other appliance that goes across the midline? That creates new energy considerations, doesn't it?
There's some anatomical considerations and there's energy considerations.
Okay.
We are concerned about having metal that goes across the midline.
Right, because that's of both sides of the mouth.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay.
Like a bridge that goes from one right to the left side of the mouth.
Okay.
We're concerned about what that does energetically, crossing over and changing people's energy meridians. We're also concerned about...
Now, that sounds like acupuncture stuff. And it really
yes,
is, isn't it?
It is.
And what you're saying is that the acupuncture map in the mouth can actually relate to some of the illness problems in the body. You can actually document that this tooth is hot and that organ is involved, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Just like a map of the body is on the feet with reflexology, there's a map of the body represented by each of the teeth.
And in my experience with you, sometimes correcting a hot zone that's leaking mercury or other battery-type effects has made improvements in the distant organ correlated with that tooth.
That's right. And we don't predict that. We can't predict it. We know what's related to what, but we
right.
cannot tell patients, oh, this is going to fix that.
No, but it's sure nice when it happens, isn't it?
It's wonderful.
It's very confirming.
Yes.
When you got into this, you were taught just like Hal Huggins, who looked at dentures and the fact that they are made with a lot of mercury in them as well. You were taught that all this stuff that you were doing was safe.
Exactly.
But it actually is causing a lot of disease or amplifying disease that's already there or has a tendency to develop, right?
That's exactly right. And we're just always looking at the burdens.
Right.
You know, fluoride is a monstrous controversy to yes. some of us in dentistry.
Yes.
To fluoridate the public water supply with silicofluorides, which is a toxic waste, just doesn't make sense. And there's no evidence that supports it strongly that it is effective in reducing tooth decay to have systemic fluoride.
I look at the three major public health experiments that we've conducted: mercury in the mouth, fluoride in the water, and chlorine in the water. And we look at these and you go, all this was done with minimal evidence that we were going to get a dramatic public health improvement, but lots of evidence that has subsequently shown that there's real harmful issues here. And we continue to do it because we've always done it that way. I like to say that the unpopularity of the viewpoints that we're talking here is because you're always down on what you're not up on.
Yeah.
And if you're not up on some of the literature that talks about the toxicity of some of these issues, then you're in trouble.
Yes. And the concern about the fluoride is we are adding something to the public water to treat individuals. We're not adding to treat the water, but the fluoride is added to it's a mass medication.
That's right. That's right. It is in that regard.
And the upset for me is, and many dentists, not the majority, but many, the upset is that there's not evidence that systemic fluoride reduces tooth decay.
Oh, gosh. Now, of course it does. Everybody knows. That's why it's in all the toothpastes. That's why it's in all the water. Of course, everybody. They wouldn't do something without knowing that, would they?
You sent me that article 15 years ago where the guy said that was running the program said, that was wrong. I was wrong with that.
Right. And
the hard part for all of us, and dentists, you know, included in all of us, is when you get new information and it contradicts what you've been doing your whole life with your very best intentions for your people that you love and care about the most, to stop doing that behavior is saying, I was wrong about that.
Recanting is difficult.
Yeah,
it's also not highly publicized. You know, the start of something goes. But when someone says, well, I was wrong, it just keeps rolling on and on and on and on, as though it were never recanted.
Exactly.
Worrisome stuff. We'll be right back with Dr. Bill Glaris. It's now about 30 minutes past the hour here on Feeling Better Naturally with Dr. John Trowbridge with the best medical updates ever. Sometimes, especially when our attention is focused on health problems, we forget that laughter is the best medicine. So here's our joke for today. Co-workers sympathized as my mother complained that her back was really sore from moving furniture. Why don't you wait till your husband gets home? Someone asked. I could, my mother told the group, but the couch is so much easier to move if he's not on it. Isn't that true? Holiday events. September 6th is Labor Day, and that sounds like just too much work to me. September 11th is, of course, our remembrance of those innocent souls who died in the 9/11 attacks on our country. And our Star Spangled Banner was written by Francis Scott Key on that date in 1814. So let's get straight to the question, what are you waiting for? Sick and tired of feeling sick and tired? Angry at not feeling better? Threatened with pain or limitations? Perhaps fearful about the future? Can you trust that you'll find the answers, the ones you need right now? You'd better take this responsibility seriously. You've got to find the answer somehow, and you'd better be right, because your survival might be in the balance. So listen to what I have to offer. Over the past 24 years, I've developed and improved integrative treatment programs to help many people suffering with a great variety of frustrating illnesses. Fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, heart disease even after surgery, and especially congestive heart failure. Shortness of breath, restless sleep or insomnia, poor circulation and leg pains, hypoglycemia and diabetes, poor memory, even Alzheimer's and other dementias, migraines and other headaches, rheumatoid arthritis and lupus, ulcerative colitis and other gut problems, frustrating skin conditions, disabling neck and back pains, sports injuries, arthritis, prostatitis, chronic urinary infections, chronic sinus and lung infections, hormones and thyroid and sexual performance and PMS and menopause, even manopause. And the list just goes on and on and on, because health deals with basic body processes, not just squashing particular symptoms. You could feel better than you ever expected. And I've lectured on these topics for over 20 years. I've written books and medical papers to share how to make healing happen. The leading authors and newsletter editors in preventive medicine have been personal friends of mine for years. And in my 25 years of practice, I found that very few people know that simple, effective, and cost-conscious solutions are available to help with their problems, starting now. And few people realize that several of the problems for which they're seeing different specialists are often related to the same basic cause. Correcting what is causing one problem might improve several other problems that frustrate, worry, or anger you. Make your healthcare investment pay even bigger dividends in your future. Get details on our exclusive and unique cashable voucher program that can return to you cash dollars for your future expenses. We're here to save your health and save your wallet as well. And that's what this show is all about, and that's what we're all about at Life Celebrating Health and Humble. Call for a free consultation with one of our treatment assistants. No fee, no obligation. Just dial 1-800-FIX-PAIN. That's 1-800-FIX-PAIN. You're listening to Feeling Better Naturally with Dr. John Trowbridge. Invite your family and friends to listen to these programs, a planetary education project of Life Celebrating Health. And we're back with Dr. Bill Glaris, my friend in biological dentistry in Northwest Houston. I've kind of hogged the show with my questions, but I know you get patients with lots of different issues and such. What do you want us to hear from you about with biological dentistry? There's a whole lot more in the mouth.
Well, at the top of the show, you were talking about periodontal disease.
Right.
And that is something that we can all agree on. The ADA and the AMA and you and I can agree that we want to stop periodontal disease, because the anaerobic bacteria associated with that have been repeatedly in all of a certain agreement that they are related to strokes, heart attacks, premature low birth weight babies.
Bad stuff.
All bad stuff.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that is not very popular but also appears to be true is that some of the same bacteria, many of the same bacteria that are populating the periodontal pockets are also populating dead teeth that we have in the mouth.
So it's not just around the gum line, it's actually in the tooth itself.
In the tooth itself.
So in other words, as the tooth dies, it loses the defense capability, is that it?
There are some, those bacteria are in some vital teeth, but when you have a dead tooth, a tooth that's been endodontically treated, you have a source of bacteria from that tooth itself.
So it's not just numb. It's growing. It's harboring these bugs.
In growing them, and it's growing them in the periodontal pockets of the tooth, that cannot be reached by antibiotics or even our white blood cells.
Or toothbrushes. So you harbor them and can't get rid of them.
Correct.
So even if you take antibiotics for a cold or something, it doesn't affect them.
And it's in the dental tubules
that are in the tooth. The tissue of the tooth, okay.
Right. The space that's between the pulp where the nerve used to be and the outside of the tooth is where the dental tubules are, and that's where the anaerobic bacteria are thriving.
And potentially causing, as we talked about at the beginning of the show, all these other remote changes in the body. Now, we've talked also about the pockets of infection at the bottom of a root canal tooth.
Correct.
Tell us about that.
Well, it can be a pus-producing, purulent, exudate kind of bacterial infection where there's swelling and pain.
Just like you would see on your skin, a pus pocket. Okay.
Exactly. And dental pain typically comes from pressures that build up. So if those bacteria are building up pressure, then it's going to cause pain in the bone.
A toothache in the bone.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, it's also true that those sites at the tips of teeth that are more commonly the root canal treated teeth, at extraction sites, it's possible that we have problems with how the bone heals and how with clotting disorders or with...
Those are very common.
Yes.
We've talked about those before on the show.
So with clotting disorders or with poor nutrition or with poor treatment of the site or loss of the blood clot, you can develop, it's very common in those sites that there are developed areas of ischemic osteonecrosis, ischemic no blood supply or poor blood supply, osteobone necrosis, dead bone from a poor blood supply.
So a little island in the bone of the jaw.
Exactly.
That's dead now.
Exactly.
What happens?
It grows.
It gets more and more dead?
It gets deader because it expands.
Uh-huh.
And it expands at different rates depending on people's different levels of health.
Right.
So they can have a site from an extraction done when they were in college of a root canal root canal treated tooth or of a third molar, wisdom tooth. And
the site from the tip of that root.
Or it can be just from the whole site itself. Perhaps the periodontal ligament wasn't cleaned out adequately.
Okay.
And the body looks over and it sees periodontal ligament looking at periodontal ligament and it never fills in with bone.
And so they have this little cavity or pocket in there then.
Right.
A little bubble of infection.
Right. And the location of wisdom teeth at the start of the jaw or the back of the jaw, it's not where the blood supply comes in. The blood supply comes up more in the middle of the jaw.
Right, underneath.
And then
that's
it goes back there like a cul-de-sac.
Right.
And sometimes it stores stuff. It's like the head of the femur in the hip.
Right. It's the final pathway.
The blood supply starts more in the middle of the bone, and osteoporotic lesions are very common in the femur.
Right, at the end of the line, basically.
End of the line, and that's where the third molars are, at the end of the line, whether it's upper or lower jaw.
So even though someone doesn't have their third molars because they were pulled, okay, put to sleep, extracted, whatever, okay, they can come in and they can have these pockets of infection that they don't even know about that don't necessarily cause them pain.
Right.
And those now can be related to distant degenerative diseases.
Exactly.
And how do you prove that? What proof do you have that those are infections?
When we treat those sites surgically, we do a biopsy.
Yeah, that means cutting into this, right?
Yeah.
Yes, you've got to put people out because they're like me. They've got an extreme fear of dentists.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You're a member of a large club.
That's right.
So the first interest about it, there's a machine that was developed called a Cavitat, which is an ultrasonic device that measures through the bone, and we can get a wonderful sense about whether there's a lesion there from that. If it's moderately blocked, a small area, then we're going to use or recommend the use of something that's going to help break up clots.
Right.
Like you introduced me to natokinase.
Natokinase, right. Exactly. We've talked about that before.
We're going to make referrals to their healthcare provider so we can see if there's other clotting disorders, because we don't want to go in and do a surgery in an area or on a person who has a clotting disorder.
Who's going to get in trouble, right.
Exactly.
Yes. And at that time, then, you can actually get out a piece of this pocket, right?
So we go into the site surgically when necessary, and we send that piece of tissue and what we collect from that site to an oral pathologist, and he sends us back a report that tells us what it was. And in 99% of the time, the lesions that I've gone into surgically, the diagnosis has been that it's ischemic osteonecrosis, ischemic osteoporosis, a focal osteoporotic marrow defect, a marrow problem.
So this is the whole bone complex,
every
part of the bone there, and infection.
Now, it's not like the pus-producing infection,
uh-huh.
but it is infected tissue.
Gotcha. So there's two kinds, kind of like a dry infection and kind of like a pus infection.
Exactly.
And you can document both of those with tissues.
Correct.
That you take out. That's excellent. We'll be right back. It's now about 41 past the hour here on Feeling Better, Naturally, with Dr. John Trowbridge, with the best medical updates ever. Now, we sometimes forget that spiritual centering is an important part of healing, getting better and staying healthier. So today's verse is from Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1. Boast not of tomorrow, for you know not what any day may bring forth. How true that is, and how often we forget that in our lives. We're back with Dr. Bill Glaris, my dentist, my biological dentist. We were talking about these cavitations or infections in the jaw. When people get those cleaned up, do they feel better in their jaw or not necessarily?
Often they do, and often they don't report noticing any changes, and we know that going into the site. There's not any evidence, though, that it's healthy to leave an osteoporotic lesion
right
in the body.
Right,
it's
especially
not left anywhere else, and this is another area of controversy in dentistry that you shouldn't treat those lesions because they're not causing any harm.
Right.
However, when we go into those sites and get the biopsy material and the report comes back, it would be very difficult for somebody, I would think, to support the presence of that and leaving that in the mouth. It's not left anywhere else.
Right.
And we don't believe it should be left in the mouth.
Right. You got an infection down on your toe, we clean that out.
Right.
If it's been melting away bone, we definitely want to get rid of it.
Sure.
Now, when people heal from this, then they actually make new bone across this hole that was there, right?
Exactly. It fills in. It fills in like we... The goal is for it to fill in like we wish it did the first time.
The first time around, right.
If they've got clotting disorders, then it might not fill in as well, but it's typically smaller. And rarely do we go into a site. Sometimes people have acute symptoms there. Sometimes they have symptoms on a distant organ, and their health care provider is saying, we need you to get this site taken care of.
Right. Now, when we send people to you, of course, we kind of stack the deck for them to heal across those zones. So that
they're,
it's a different person who's healing than the one who didn't heal the first time around.
Exactly.
But basically, you and your office with Dr. Ewing and your wonderful support team there really encourage people to do all the right things to get that to heal.
But we want to, just like before we start removing the mercury fillings, we want the exit routes open.
Right. Detoxification.
We want the trace minerals, you know, at the right levels.
Right.
We want them to be on a program that's going to get this out of their body. We're just not trying to get it out of their teeth. We can do that in multiple appointments or a few appointments.
Right.
The goal is to get it out of the body.
I mean, if you keep them asleep long enough, you could take it all out at one time, right?
Sure.
But that's not necessarily the most healthy strategy, is it?
Everybody's not able to have that kind of load eliminated at the same time from their system.
And that is a big dump, isn't it?
Sure. And you help us and guide us with that, and don't send people to us to have it done that aren't ready to have it done and aren't ready to get it out of their bodies.
Right. And I tell people, you know, that it took four separate stages for mine. And, you know, and I, quote, thought myself healthy.
Yes.
Even though I had a mouth full of fillings. But, you know, we walk around thinking ourselves are healthy. You know, it doesn't hurt. I don't feel bad. Well, a little ache here and there, no big deal. But we dismiss these early warning signs, don't we?
Sure. And we talk about, in biological dentistry, having a concern about mercury fillings and a concern about dead teeth and root canal treated teeth and even periodontal disease. Dental issues aren't everybody's first biggest concern. They're important, But they're not everybody's first biggest concern, and that's why we need to be working. Dennis, that's why I'm working with physicians like you who and healthcare providers who are looking at the whole body and what's going on. And when the dental issue comes up or a question about it, then we want to address it in these ways. And people are going to make individual choices. They might say, you know, that root canal tooth that I have in the very front of my mouth, and you're telling me that you don't want me to have a partial that can be fixed in my mouth.
Right.
So you're telling me that I might have to have a removable appliance. I feel like my grandmother. I'm sorry. I can't do that.
Right.
And we honor those people. They're making that decision.
Right. You can't make the decision for them. That's right.
Exactly.
That's the nice news is biological dentistry is personalized dentistry. We're joined today by Dr. Bill Glaris, a biological dentist here in Northwest Houston, and it's now about 45 past the hour here on Feeling Better Naturally with Dr. John Trowbridge. September 4th, Paul Harvey was born, noted commentator, and now for the rest of the story. September 8th, country western star Patsy Cline was born in 1933, and September 15th, mystery writer Agatha Christie, born in 1890. And we're back with Dr. Bill Glaris, biological dentist from Northwest Houston. Now, when we talk about these things, I just want to share one little story because it just impressed me so much. And I published it in The Yeast Syndrome in 1986. This is a lady that I had been treating for a couple of years trying to get rid of her yeast vaginitis. Now, that's what most people think the yeast syndrome is. It's yeast vaginal things in women, but it's not that at all. It's much more widespread. That's just a localized problem. But we had done all these things trying to get rid of her vaginitis. She went to see you. And this was before I really had the big picture. Of course, this is 20-some years ago. She had a root canal tooth taken care of by you.
Yes.
Biological dentistry. Her yeast vaginitis that had been persistent for years disappeared within 2 weeks and never came back. Big picture here. Big picture is, I call it the spider web theory of medicine. Now you pull on one part of the web, the whole web jiggles.
Yes.
And you know, her whole body is attached to her mouth and vice versa. So those kinds of stories impressed me no end, and I keep seeing them time and again with people who've had lingering diseases. And no, they don't want to go see the dentist. They want to get rid of this other problem. They want to get rid of their lupus or their rheumatoid arthritis or their heart disease or something. But sometimes the dental issues will be the hurdle they've got to clear.
Yes. And for those that don't notice an immediate change, we respect that maybe dentistry wasn't the first thing that needed to happen, but it happened in its order, and it's gotten out of the way.
Right.
And I had a gentleman today that was a new patient. He'd known for a long time. His physician had recommended that he have a bridge removed and a root canal tooth removed. And he was doing everything he could to not do that treatment. And I asked him, I said, well, how would you feel if we did this therapy and you didn't get better immediately? He said, well, I'd be mad. Wouldn't you?
That's an honest question.
It's a perfect question. I said, was that a rhetorical question about me, or did you really want to know? And he said, no, really. I said, well, before I did it, I would have decided that I thought this was in my best health interest to do this. And if I didn't notice the change that I was hoping for, I would know that I had already made that decision that was in my best interest to do it. And that's the only way that you and I can move forward with this. Because if you're going to be mad, I understand your anger, but we're not going to go there.
Right. We're not going to buy into that one.
Exactly.
And that just is the respect for the personal decision-making people have to come to.
Absolutely.
It's real simple to put the mercury in because you've got a toothache and, you know, someone drills that out and covers that up and it doesn't hurt anymore. That's an easy result. It's taking it out or taking out the root canal tooth that's been dead and infected and causing problems that doesn't necessarily lead to an immediate solution. That's the harder part.
Right. And you and I know that people, our patients that are active in their role in making decisions about their health care, do better.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
And that's what we're looking for.
The informed patient, the informed consent here.
Exactly.
I tell patients, let's say you've got a car and it's got a dead battery, no gas, and 4 flat tires. Which do you fix first? Well, who cares? See, because until you fix all of them, that car is going nowhere. And so I look at the biological dentistry part of the picture. I'm trying to identify, before I make a referral to you, who's going to really benefit. Because if they're going to spend time, effort, dedication, discomfort, and all this, they really deserve the best opportunity to have that be the right step at the right time for them to see the results. But still, it's like that car. Just getting that out of the way will still help them in the final picture of getting better.
You've never told me the car story.
Well,
I said it'll be mine by Wednesday. It'll be my story.
I like someone who can steal just with a straight face like that. What other issues would you like for us to think about in this biological dentistry field?
Well, one of the areas that we distinguish ourselves from other traditional practices is looking at bacterial plaque from a patient's mouth, putting it under a phase contrast microscope, and looking at the kind of bugs they're growing.
Now, this is the stuff we're trying to get off when we're brushing our teeth.
Exactly, little film that we all get.
Right, and that collects in the pockets, exactly, and the gums, the periodontal disease, okay.
So it's a bacterial plaque,
uh-huh,
and we can look at that under the microscope and make determinations from what we see under the microscope, the kind of bacteria, whether they're little cocci that are running around or whether there are spirochetes, and we commonly see associated with the spirochetes, the little twirling around little bacteria, that we see bone loss. And then we're going to recommend a mouthwash or a dentifrice or a grapefruit seed extract or something based on what we see to treat their particular problem.
Okay, now, what you're doing is predictive dentistry, because you're saying, okay, if we see these, then we know what kinds of problems are associated or will come along with these sorts of things.
That's right.
And you're also paying attention to the microfauna and flora, the things that are growing in the mouth, the same way I do in the gut to rebalance things more normally.
Right.
When you have people coming in for biological dentistry, are they mostly referred or do they hear about you and decide to come in?
They are mostly referred, and before they come in, Joanne has an in-depth interview with them to see if we're a match.
Right.
And if they have interests that are only what their insurance is going to pay, and that's mercury fillings and that's a nickel crown, then she's going to say, gosh, I don't think this is going to work very
well. Not the right
office.
We're
not a very good match for you.
Yeah.
She honors them, and they're not wrong. They just have a different,
They're not at the level of needing biological dentistry at this point.
Right.
Right.
And most people that come, they're going to, in the early years, it was quizzing, It was serious quizzing. And I have the most wonderful patients in the world. They have studied. They have come. They make sure that we can pass the test to be their dentist.
Right.
And then they get on board, and they're wonderful. They participate at levels that other dentists don't even dream about.
Right. And I hear, who would love to have patients
I hear
like
other
that.
Dentists talking about their patients, and, oh, my gosh, they're griping about this and that. I was like, gosh, I just keep my mouth shut and grin.
Grin, that's right. You know, we encourage the folks that we send over to read this wonderful little book called Let the Tooth Be Known. This is by Dr. Dawn Ewing in your office. She's a doctor of integrative medicine and has this marvelous way of putting together what's happening in the field of biological dentistry on a personal level for what patients can understand. And so we like them to be a little bit more educated when they show up at your place, the same way we need them to be educated when they show up at my place.
Exactly.
And in that light, what's kind of the take-home message about biological dentistry? What do people have to really remember?
Because of the concern that we have for the burden on our bodies from what's in our mouths, whether it's the mercury restorations, whether it's dissimilar metals, whether it's dead teeth or periodontal disease, we want people to be educated. We have on our website, www.biologicaldentist.com, there's articles, there's references to other websites. There's multiple books that can be read. We believe that an informed patient is going to do better, heal better if they're diseased, stay well if they're well. It's going to work better. And the more informed they are and the more active role they play, and that's something you and I are looking for in our patients that some of our colleagues aren't looking for in their patients.
Right. Sit down, shut up, and take the treatment, right? It's not that at all. That may be old-fashioned medicine and old-fashioned dentistry, but the motivated patient, one of my friends used to say, I can explain it to them, but I can't understand it for them. Well, that's true. And if they'll read, they'll ask questions, we get it personally related to them. That's what you do in your office, I know, because I'm a patient there. But what happens is the patient now has a motivation and participation. They go, okay, I understand that is important. I'll do that.
That's it. And we know that it's the daily decisions. It's whether you work out that day, what you eat each meal. It's those minute decisions of the moment that are the biggest factors about our health.
They add up. That's right. And they add up indefinitely, don't they? I mean, like until the end of your years, you're still adding up those decisions. When you look at the future of biological dentistry, give us in a nutshell what's going to happen.
I had a good friend who knew about dentistry and knew about what I did. And he said, Bill, he said, they're moving your way. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, there's more and more attention on not using any metals for the cosmetic benefits because they've advanced so far and technically are excellent. There are more and more people, the periodontal issues and the relation of teeth to the rest of the body, those issues are places where you live, and that's where dentistry is going. He said, I hope you live around long enough and practice long enough to enjoy that.
So you're the trailblazer here. Now, your website is www.biologicaldentist.com.
Correct.
Phone number for your office if people want more information.
281-440-1190.
Now, and they can order Dr. Don's Ewing's book,
yes.
Let the Tooth Be Known. They can get other information, talk with members of your staff.
Other websites, the website about fluoride, www.fluoridedebate.com, takes the ADA position and a biological position and just goes, there's about 18 questions that are answered. It's a wonderful site. I just found it yesterday.
That's excellent. So there's lots of information available out there. I really do appreciate your joining us.
It's an honor. Thank you very much.
So what is the take-home message from this wonderful talk about biological dentistry with Dr. Bill Glaros? Well, it's much, much more than old-fashioned dentistry, which was sometimes called drill, fill, and bill. And not only is filling cavities, which are called dental caries, not only is that important, but root canals and other restorative measures like crowns and post-implants and bridges and periodontal surgery and so on can dramatically worsen your health. And knowing what's the best thing to do is not always easy, and in fact, it's usually quite difficult, which is why I'm thankful to rely on the professional opinions, expertise, and skill of biological dentists like Dr. Glaros. Are you worried about needing a root canal? Get a second or even third opinion. What about chronic jaw or sinus pain? Get a second or even third opinion. Are you suffering with chronic diseases that aren't getting better? Get the professional opinion of a biological dentist who could be life-saving for you and certainly could add joy to the years in your life. You know, the funny story is Quacksilver, that's Quicksilver or Mercury. In the old days, the dentists that started using mercury 150 years ago were called quacks for putting it in, the Quacksilver dentists. Now they're called quacks for wanting to take it out. What a deal. Today's show is dedicated to all of us who happily asked for mercury toxic silver fillings for cavities and mercury toxic root canal procedures and the belief that we were doing our very best to protect our future dental health, only to discover that the cost could be endangerment of our health and that the cost of reversing these fillings and root canal procedures is enormously higher than having them done in the first place. What a surprise. Our production engineer today is Mark Fisher, production assistants Catherine Hill and Kathy Guyon. Thanks for joining me today for the best medical updates ever. Have you learned practical pointers to help you regain and maintain better health? Maybe to help you guide your family or friends toward new solutions for their problems? Audio tape and CD copies of the show are available for your personal reference and to share with family and friends. Simply call 1-800-FIX-PAIN for details. What health problems are bringing you down or limiting your comfort, threatening your future? Share your questions with us by email. That's info@healthchoicesnow.com. Or call 1-800-FIX-PAIN for our address to mail us something or call to talk with one of our treatment assistants. Let us know what special information we might send you. Receive our free e-newsletter simply by sharing your email address with us and enjoy the free downloads available on our website, www.healthchoicesnow.com. Feel free to come by to see what's so special and visit with the patients who are feeling better right now because they're anxious to share their successes with you in person. We're next to the Northeast Medical Center Hospital near Bush Intercontinental Airport. Call 1-800-FIX-PAIN for directions or a map because we'd love to show you where better health happens. Remember, if your money, your time, your effort, your comfort, or even your life is at stake, get the very best answers and the very best treatment you can find. Rely on experts who can make sense out of your problems and who have the experience to produce results for you, because when life is your choice, failure is not an option.
Our message is one of hope for a healthier future, and we aim to produce these results for you. Invite your family and friends to listen to our programs, a planetary education project of Life Celebrating Health, exclusively on Feeling Better, Naturally, with Dr. John Trowbridge. Have a great day and a wonderful week.